Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow children of God, not many people get to have the kind of privilege that Joshua had in our first lesson today. After a late in life career as the civil and military leader of the 12 tribes of Israel, he was able to approach the end of his days with the knowledge that he had largely achieved everything that it had been set out for him to do, had done well by and for Israel, and could now call their leaders together and speak to them confidently, not only about what they had been through together, but also about what they were responsible for once he was gone. He spoke to them of the rest God had given them and the responsibility that they now had for retaining that rest. Reading from Joshua 23, after many days, when the Lord had given rest from all its enemies all around, when Joshua had grown old and advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders, its heads, its judges, and its officers, and he said to them, I have grown old and advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything that the Lord your God has done for you against all these nations. Yes, the Lord your God was fighting for you. See now, I have allotted to your tribes an inheritance from these nations that remain unconquered, as well as from the nations that I have destroyed. It extends from the Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Now, it may surprise us a bit to hear Joshua using the first person singular here. I have allotted. I have destroyed. But there's no pride here, no confusion about who is really responsible for the success that Joshua had as Israel's leader. He simply understood that he was the Lord's servant in all that he accomplished, and nothing would have been done if it had not been the Lord doing it in and through Joshua. As a man, he was the one leading Israel in its wars to clear Canaan of the wicked nations who had taken possession of it before. But it was the Lord who had fought for them in every battle, and it would be the Lord who would fight for them in all the battles that still remained as the tribes of Israel finished settling the promised land. Joshua wanted to make sure his people remembered and understood all this. The Lord your God himself will push them away from you and drive them out of your presence until they perish. He will send wild animals among them until he completely destroys them and their kings from your presence, and you will take possession of their land, just as the Lord your God promised you. The Lord has driven out from among you great and powerful nations. As for you, no one has stood up against you to this day. One of you would put 1,000 to flight because the Lord your God himself was fighting for you, just as he promised you. Now, some might listen to Joshua's words here and think, okay, well, he's telling us all that God did and he did so far, and I guess the rest of the story is up to us. But really, what Joshua is telling them is the story of the rest. That's how this section was introduced. When the Lord had given Israel rest from all its enemies all around. We, not just modern humans, but people of every age, place, and culture, we tend not to appreciate rest for the gift that it is. And God's people, in particular, too often fail to appreciate the particular gift of his rest. The temptation is to think of times of rest, times without war or conflict, times without difficulty or disease, times that are without hard times or without hard labor. We want to think of those as what is normal, as kind of the default setting for our existence, with the troubles being unusual or even extraordinary occurrences. But the fact is that because of sin And ever since the fall of Adam, it is actually exactly the other way around. Sinful people will always be doing sinful things that make trouble for other people. And the curse on all creation means all the world has to deal with dangers. Dangers as small as viruses and as huge as volcanoes and tsunamis. And for God's people, the dangers should be even more expected, because Satan and his earthly allies especially aim at them to turn them away from heaven and lead them away to hell. So Joshua reminded Israel that God had given them a special blessing that set them apart from all other peoples. He had given them rest from all their enemies all around. They could settle the land and farm and build and trade and produce without fear of attack and with an expectation that what they planted one year would still be there the next. But there was another danger yet to beware of: taking it all for granted. You must be very resolute in carrying out all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, by not turning from it to the right or to the left, by not intermingling with these nations that remain with you. Do not ever call on or swear by the names of their gods. Never serve them and never bow down to them, but hold fast to the Lord your God, just as you have been doing to this day. So for your own sakes, be very careful to love the Lord your God. A response to God's rest was required. Not to earn what had already been given or to show that they actually deserved it all, but a response to retain the rest that they had been so graciously granted. It may not be too hard in this hot summer weather we've been having to imagine going to a nice big pool, maybe even better, a nice big lake or reservoir, and being given an air mattress to use. You happily go into the water, climb onto it, stretch out to relax, close your eyes, drift away. It's a very restful experience. But what happens if you begin to misuse that air mattress, pulling it behind a speedboat, bumping it up against rough objects, or if you neglect to take care of it, not sealing the valve so air leaks out, or letting it drift into danger? Well, do those things, and it may very quickly turn into a very unrestful experience as you flounder and flop in deep water or worse. And if you let things go too far, you may never be able to use that air mattress or its rest again. So be very careful. That's what Joshua told the leaders of Israel to do with the rest God had given them. Since it was the Lord who was responsible for all the good they had, they dared not turn away from him in any way, especially not to other gods or to the wicked ways of the nations that had not yet been driven out from among them. They needed to hold fast, to grasp tightly the one who had held them fast and tight as his dear children all those years. Joshua got very personal in telling his people to keep on loving the Lord their God who loved them. You know, there's another reason that we, with a New Testament perspective, can see another reason for this kind of personal address. A reason for the Holy Spirit to inspire Joshua to speak in the first person of what the Lord did to give rest for his people. Joshua was a type, a person whose story and works and life would point people ahead to someone someone who would bear the same name. To a little boy born in Bethlehem a millennium and a half later, whose Hebrew name would also have been Yehoshua or Yeshua, and which has come to us in English through Greek and Latin transliterations as Jesus. And what Joshua did for one nation, Jesus did for all the world. What Jesus did was far greater, not only because of the scale of it, but also because of its significance. He did exactly what he spoke of doing in our gospel today. He provided rest to those wearied and burdened by their sins and by their struggles to live up to the standards of God's law. He provided that rest by defeating and destroying all the enemies all around us, enemies whose aim is our destruction. And he did it by bringing us into the kingdom of his Father, a place, an existence of peace and joy and blessing. With his sacrifice on the altar of the cross, the sinless Lamb of God, Jesus, God's own Son, paid the price for all the world's every sin. The punishment that each of us deserved for the wrong we have done and for the right we have failed to do, and the guilt of every sinful word and attitude, all of it he bore for us in our place in suffering and in death. He paid the full price. He finished God's wrath and satisfied his justice. And with his resurrection from the dead on Easter morning, Christ came forth as victorious over every power and person that could ever have caused us fear or held sway over us. He defeated all our enemies all around. Sin, death, Satan, guilt, the grave, hell, the wickedness of a wicked world. Just as God promised his people from the very beginning of the story, he has given us rest in Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, our Savior. So what about your story, then? This gets personal for you, too. This shouldn't just be an academic lesson of Bible history or other people's spiritual lives. Hear that invitation Jesus gives you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Find rest for your souls. Hear that invitation and accept it as your very own promise and possession from the Lord of grace and mercy. Then listen to and follow the instruction of Joshua and the encouragement we heard also today in Hebrews. Turn to Christ. And don't miss out on any of the rest that he is always ready to give you. Forgiveness for your sins, the certain hope of heaven, the confidence of knowing that the center of his will is always the best place to be, the comfort that comes with knowing the God who sent his Son to save you from your sins can surely be counted on to watch over you and meet your needs in this earthly life. So much more, so many more restful promises and assurances. Remain in that rest and be careful to retain it. We saw it given today, just now, a few moments ago. A baby boy had his sins forgiven and was given a place in God's family through the water and word of baptism. Hold on to that for yourselves. And cherish also the generous gift of the gospel in the Lord's Supper, in which Jesus gives us his own body and blood, in, with, and under the bread and wine, for forgiveness, for life, and for salvation. Remember also what our verse of the day told us today, reminding us, happy are they who hear the word and hold it fast. But being very careful to love the Lord your God also involves not just those positives of what we hold on to, but also the same kind of negatives we are to get rid of, that Joshua reminded the Israelites to remove from their story. No turning away from the Lord and his will to the left or the right. No idolatry. No intermingling with those who would turn them away. No compromise. No false worship. No unilateral rewriting of the covenant he had made with them. So for us, we will not depart from the Word of God, but will instead hold fast to it, cherish it, read it, study it, take it in, meditate on it, share it with others. There will be no, for us, treating baptism as some kind of talisman, some kind of magic thing that allows us to sin all we want and turn away from God all we want and still think that somehow that guarantees us a place in heaven. There will be no treating as new gods, as new idols, no worshiping with the way that we spend our time, spend our money, spend our energy of popularity or prosperity or personal pleasure. We will not approach God's standards and think that we can compromise them or change them or rewrite them to suit whatever it is that our culture says or our own needs or desires seem to dictate. We will instead be very resolute to retain the rest Christ won for us. And as you hold fast to him, what is the Lord going to do? He will keep on doing what he always does for his people. He will keep his promises. He will keep on blessing. He will keep on forgiving. He will keep on taking believers to heaven. He will keep on delivering people from danger. Keep on protecting us from our enemies. Keep on loving and loving and loving. And so, of course, with a Lord like that, you will continue to hold fast to him. Do not harden your hearts ever. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. He will fight for you, and in his power, you will put your enemies to flight. And the story of rest in Christ will be the rest of your story. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.